Hi, my love. I hope you're enjoying Manifest Daily, whether this is your second or your 22nd episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. And if you really love the show, I would appreciate it if you could do me a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It really helps the show grow and reach more listeners like yourself. And like I said, I would be super grateful for you to leave that 5-star review. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this amazing and growing podcast community. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is DeAndre Nicolette. If you're new here, my love, welcome. I'm super excited to have you tuned in for your first ever episode of Manifest Daily. And of course, to my OG listeners, y'all know the vibes. Okay, hey girl, hey. Hey boy, hey, what's poppin', what's good? Welcome back to another episode of your fave. So my loves, today we're doing another Q&A episode. And of course, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, this episode is going up a lot later than usual. So I apologize because I did ask on Instagram what y'all want to hear this week. And we talked about having the decentering men and decentering romantic relationships episode, but I am still working on the outline and I didn't really want to put together a half-assed episode for that just to get it up quickly. So instead, we're going to do the Q&A episode. And I love these. I forgot how much I really love these. They feel like I'm just sitting down and chatting with y'all. We're spilling tea and sipping tea, period. And it's just a good time. So let me set the scene for y'all before we dive into the questions. So like I said, it's Tuesday, November 21st, which, you know what? It is what it is, because where is the time going? Who knows? We don't know. She's gone. She's left. She's packed her bag. She's on a plane and she is gone. Okay. But time is literally flying. And I feel like I say this all the time, but it's just so wild to me because it's yet another holiday season and I'm coming upon my third year in Dallas, which I don't know. When I first moved here, I mean, it was so spontaneous and random, but I never really thought about what future years would look like here. And it's so wild. I actually had a conversation yesterday and someone asked me what is something that I'm so proud of myself for doing in the past couple of years. And I had to mention this move because I feel like I've just grown so much and my mindset has shifted so much. I've had so many amazing experiences in the city. So crazy that it's going to be 3 years. Anyway, my mom comes today. She's visiting for Thanksgiving. I'm so excited. She hasn't been here since last year, actually. So it's been literally over a year. My dad was supposed to come too. He's not going to be able to make it, which is sad, but I'm going to see him in like a couple of weeks. But she is coming. I'm so excited. We're going out to dinner today. We're going to go to this area in Dallas. Well, technically it's in Plano. Listen, I ain't from here, so I'm going to say it's Dallas. It's whatever, okay? But it's called Legacy West, and it's like a shopping area that has, they have like different restaurants, and just it's such a cute area. I know they're going to have a bunch of like lights and Christmas trees, and I just love this time of year for the decor, for the vibes. People are so nice. People are just like cheery and happy, and the fashion, the fall fashion, the winter fashion. So I'm so here for it. But she's coming today. So I have spent my morning trying to get things done for my 9-to-5, trying to clean the house, trying to just put things away, and of course record this episode so y'all have something to hear and listen to today, because next Tuesday's episode might be a little bit late too, because she leaves on Monday. And while she's here, we're not going to be recording. We're just going to be vibing, enjoying the time with Mumsy, wrapping gifts, doing some holiday shopping. I need to get my nails done. I broke a nail. You guys, I literally broke this nail before going to a Friendsgiving event. I was so annoyed because I know I need to get them done, but I'm trying to hold off so I can get them done like right before I leave for Boston. That way I don't have to get them done while I'm in Boston. I had to go to Friendsgiving. And then, of course, I went on a date yesterday having to rock a Band-Aid. And we went to such a nice restaurant. And I'm sat there as this man is like pouring my wine, which is like my Band-Aid just there. I felt so humbled by it. I was like, okay, you know, she cute, she a baddie, but her nail broke. So, but, you know, we still a baddie, though. We still a baddie, just with a broke nail. So I need to get my nails up. Grab yourself something to drink. I, for one, y'all know I'm on my hydration shit right now. So I need to go get some water for real, because yeah, I just had coffee this morning. I'm also on my protein game. I've really been on it. I had a protein shake this morning. And y'all know I don't like no eggs, but I boiled three eggs. And them eggs cracked in the pan while it was boiling. So it was all the egg juice or whatever coming out in the water as the water was boiling away. I was so grossed out by it. But you know what I did? I ate them eggs. Yes, ma'am. I sure did. Because guess what? Protein, lifting, booty. Yes, pending. All of the things. Let's go ahead. Grab your juice, your tequila. You know what? Let's just go with tequila today. You know, I need to get me some gin or some tequila because I want to make some holiday cocktails. Like, I've been seeing the ones on Instagram with the little edible glitter and stuff like that. I want to try some of those. So grab you a little, you know, tequila, mix it up with some of the edible glitter, make yourself a little cocktail, a mocktail, if you will. And let's go ahead and dive into the Q&A for November. It is November, obviously. Why was I going to say December? Baby, it's November 21st. Don't get ahead of yourself here. Yeah, let's go ahead and dive in. So the first question says, I love my boyfriend so much, but sometimes I get scared I'm spending too much of my time on him. Is that normal? You're the only person that's going to be able to answer this question. If you feel like you are sacrificing your time with your family, time with your friends, and even time with yourself, then I feel like that might be a sign that you need to really create more balance when it comes to your relationships. This was going to be part of the entire decentering men and decentering romantic relationships conversation, which is still going to come. But I just want to say this. I think that as a society, we prioritize romantic relationships and we put it on such a pedestal. And yes, it's beautiful. I love love. I love being in love. I love being in a relationship. I love having my mans. Like, all of that stuff, I think, is so beautiful. And I think when you are someone who wants to have maybe your own family one day, there's even more of that emphasis placed on partnership. But I also think that sometimes our prioritization of romantic relationships comes at the expense of understanding how fulfilling our friendships and our family relationships and even the relationship with ourselves can be. So it is really important to obviously spend time with your partner, create those memories, just cultivate that relationship and pour a lot into it. But it's also really important that you pour a lot into yourself, that you don't neglect your friends, that you don't neglect your family. I've been on the other end of having friends who, when they get in relationships, they completely forget that they have friends, and all of a sudden you never hear from them, you never speak to them again. But then when they're single, they pop back up, and it just sucks to be on the other end of that. So you don't want to be the person that is actually doing that to your friends or even your family or even yourself. So if you truly feel like, yes, you're spending a lot of time with your partner, but you also feel like you have a good balance and you're like, you know what? I have my alone time. I have my girls' nights, or, you know, I have my nights with my friends. I have the times and I go visit my family or see my family if they live close by. And you feel like there is truly that balance there, you're good. Like, even if you're spending a lot of time with your partner, you're good. But if you are truly feeling like, wow, I'm spending all of this time with this person and I never see anyone else, my friends miss me, or even like, if you don't have other friends, I think that can also be a really big telling sign to you if you feel like the only friend that you have is your partner. I know there are people online that like love that. They're like, my man is my best friend and my only friend. I'm like, girl, you need to really expand the circle a little bit, okay? Because yes, you could really be in that partnership for the rest of your life, but like, what happens if that man leaves you or you leave that man? Then who do you have around you? Like, if you feel like you don't have those family and friendships or you don't have that relationship with yourself, you don't want to be in the position of like feeling like the only person that you have to rely on is that person. So you're the only one that knows the answer to this question, but those are a couple of ways to discern whether or not you need to create more balance or if you already have that balance that you need in relationships. So the next question comes from Leslie. So Leslie says, I go by Lee first. Oh my God, I love your podcast. Thank you so much for listening and thank you for leaving a question. Lee says, you are so honest and encouraging and I look forward to Tuesdays for your podcast. My question, what is your view on best friends of opposite sex? I broke up with my boyfriend of 2 years because we just couldn't align on this. I can understand friendship with the opposite sex, but best friends, I feel like it's disrespectful from both my ex and his friend to regard me so little. Why do you need another girl to talk to so often? He told me there was nothing, but to me, she was just another girl he's always talking to, and I just couldn't believe him. Did I overreact, or was this an emotional affair that he may not have realized? I have to say, this is one of those like controversial questions or topics that always come up. And it's interesting because this literally came up at the Friendsgiving event that I went to over the weekend. But we were talking about this, and they literally were like, do you think that men and women, heterosexual men and women specifically, can be friends? If you would have asked me this a couple of years ago, I would have said no, because every quote unquote guy friend that I have had in the past always ended up liking me or wanting more. And I feel like the friendship was always kind of like a front for them to get their way into my life. So it was like, let's be friends. And then all of a sudden they're like flirting with me and then trying to get sexual. And it would just become weird because I'm like, okay, I really did want to have you around as a friend because I like your vibe. I like your energy. I like spending time with you, but I don't want a relationship with you, or I don't want anything with you. And a relationship doesn't needs to be like boyfriend and girlfriend. I just don't even want to have sex with you. Like, I don't want anything of that nature. A few years ago, I would have definitely been like, oh, I don't know. And I remember too, in the past, having trouble with my partners who had friends of the opposite sex. I don't think I ever shared this story on the show before, but one of my first serious boyfriends, actually my first serious boyfriend, I would say, he actually had a friend who was his best friend when we were in college. And years later, after we broke up and we end up having this, you know, conversation, we like met at a coffee shop and I thought he was looking for closure. He was not looking for closure. He ended up telling me that he did cheat on me. And he not only cheated on me, but he cheated on me with that specific friend. And it's crazy because looking back at that time, I was like, they're so close. Like they have that close friendship. But I remember wanting to like feel secure and being like, you know what? I have to trust him. That's my partner. If he says they're just friends, then they're just friends. And really being like, no, I'm probably overthinking it. Like it's just me, right? I think once I had that experience, I struggled for a bit whenever I had relationships with men, or I was trying to get into relationships with men who had friends of the opposite sex, because I was so scarred by that experience that I was like, no, they can't have female friends. They're going to end up cheating on me with this female friend, and I don't want that. So I actively avoided that for such a long time. And I also kind of felt like if I had male friends, I had to have these really strict boundaries with them. And then at one point I was like, okay, well, I can't even have the male friends because every time I try to have the male friends, they're pushing the boundaries. But I will say, having the experience that I have now with JC, I've seen that it is possible to have that male friend that doesn't push those boundaries. And I do think friends of opposite sex are possible, where I perhaps in the past questioned it a bit more. I do think this, however, this type of relationship, especially when it comes to like heterosexual relationships between men and women and friendship, and, you know, adding in the complexities of either one of those individuals or both of those individuals also being in relationships, you need to have boundaries that are set. You need to have a very specific understanding about what your friendship is and what it looks like. And you need to have a very specific underlying understanding of respect on both ends. Because even if there's some attraction, you guys can still be friends, I think, but it's just about those boundaries, and it's about respecting each other, respecting those boundaries, and also respecting each other's partners if you are in relationships. But I will also say, I've had an experience here where someone wanted to be friends with me, and I was like, yes, we can be friends. And soon after that, there was kind of a testing of the boundary of the friendship where the person wanted to get physical, and I had to be like, no, we're literally just friends. Like I just want to be friends with you. I really enjoy spending time with you and hanging out with you, but I don't want anything physical or anything more. And now because of that, my guard is kind of up with that person, and it's not the same, because if I set a boundary and they tested that, now I'm kind of like, are they going to try to test it again in the future? Can I really trust this person to understand there's only friendship here? So I do feel like it is possible, and perhaps your boyfriend at the time really was friends with that person and it was just friendship. I also do think you need to trust your intuition. So I would like to follow up with the questions for you. Was this a gut feeling? Was this intuition? Were you you getting like weird vibes from him or her or them together? Or were you just simply not trusting your partner? And that for you, again, that is only a question that you can answer, because when I look back at my previous experience where something was going on behind my back, I had little moments where something didn't sit right. Like I remember finding a letter in his dorm room from this person, and it was just like, it's like, why? Even if you're friends, like who writes that, like who's writing letters to like their friends like this? Like it was just really weird and it didn't sit right with me. But again, I pushed away that feeling because I wanted to be secure and I didn't want to be jealous and I wanted to be cool and I wanted to allow him freedom to have his friendships. But I also feel like there's that, right? There's the intuition. There's the, something here isn't right. But then there's also, there's a friendship. Maybe you already have this bias against opposite sex friendships, and maybe you're kind of like jealous. Maybe you're like, I don't like that he's always talking to this person. I don't like that there's this, you know, intimate way that they know each other that I don't know him and he doesn't know me in that way. Because if you guys were dating for 2 years, but they were, you know, best friends for like 10 years, there's a lot of memories there. There's a lot of just, again, intimate understanding of one another, and that could feel incredibly threatening. So it really is about you asking yourself some of those other questions. Do you think you overreacted? Do you think that maybe there was a bit of jealousy there, or there was the not trusting the partner, or perhaps the fear? If you're putting so much trust into this person and you're really like caring about this person and they break your heart, there's so much fear involved in that, right? Like so much vulnerability. And when there's vulnerability, there's the potential to feel the fear for someone hurting you. Or was it intuition? Are you feeling that there's something off? Are you, you're not sure there's something there, you can't quite articulate it, but you're like, something's not sitting right. So I think you need to sit with that, because I can't tell you whether or not you overreacted. I only have just a couple of sentences of what's going on here, and I can only share my experience, but I have experiences on both ends. One where something malicious was happening behind my back, and one where I have a guy friend who we have very specific boundaries and we respect each other in our relationships and as individuals, and that's a line that won't ever be crossed. So really up to you to kind of discern whether or not there's something that's an intuitive feeling, or perhaps it just comes down to you not trusting that person. I have a secret. Well, I guess it's not a secret anymore because I'm literally talking about it at this moment, but the Manifest Daily membership version 2.0 is launching on August 2nd, 2024. An 11-2 day on my numerology calendar, might I add. If you are part of the 2020 membership experience, you will be blown away by what I have in store. The upgraded membership offers exclusive access to a treasure trove of lifestyle and spirituality resources designed to elevate every aspect of your life. From monthly wellness challenges and inspirational emails to guided meditations, live events with guest experts, and a comprehensive resource library, the Manifest Daily membership, reinvented and elevated, has everything you need to thrive on your journey to fostering holistic well-being and unlocking your fullest potential. Sign up for launch notifications via the link in my show notes or head to my website at themanifestdaily.com for more info. And don't forget to add August 2nd, 2024 to your calendar right now, my loves. See you there. No matter how well life is going for me, there's something about that pre-cycle week that's going to throw me off every single time. It's usually a mix of crazy cravings, emotional mood swings, bloating, some sleepless nights mixed in, and that can definitely take a toll on me, especially when it lands on a busy week. This is where Hormone Happy by Happy Mammoth comes in to help. Hormone Happy contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body to adapt to any stressors, like those caused by the chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. If you're a woman dealing with things like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts or low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, or occasional bloating and gas, then you can definitely benefit from Hormone Happy. Happy Mammoth makes no compromise when it comes to the quality of their products, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MANIFESTDAILY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code MANIFESTDAILY for 15% off today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So this next question is a bit similar. This person says, you had your good guy friend come on as a guest of your podcast recently. How do you guys do it? Have your previous partners been understanding with you two's friendship, or is your friendship not like that? What does your friendship look like, and have his partners been understanding? So as I mentioned with the last question, JC and I are very respectful when it comes to our friendship. We've definitely communicated boundaries. I could literally count on one hand the amount of times that we've spent in each other's homes alone, like just each other. And we were both single at the time. So that's never happened when we've both been in relationships or been seeing someone seriously. And typically we'll meet at coffee shops to catch up and chat if we're meeting in person. And then if not, we just send voice notes to each other and we just text like throughout the week and days. And it's usually just like life catch-ups. I'm talking about career stuff with him, like asking him for career advice. He's asking me for career advice. We're talking about TV shows. It's just like it's like literally a friendship. Like it's the same stuff that I am sharing with my other friends. So if I'm sending voice notes to B or sending voice notes to Erica or whoever, it's the same stuff that I'm talking about with my other friends that I'm chatting about with him. So it's very much chill and like that. But again, there's that extra layer of, you know, maybe if B, for example, lived here in Dallas, like she might be coming over to my place by herself without her partner. But for us, we don't really do that. I'm not going over to his place, or he's not coming over to my place, like watch a movie or something like that. I will say his partners and the guys that I've previously dated this year have just not really thought anything of our friendship. It's just like a regular friendship. He has other female friends. I don't technically have any other guy friends, but that's not because I'm opposed to it. That's just because it hasn't worked out like that. Like you guys know, I've really been working to build my community here. And it just turns out that a lot of the things that I'm doing, I've just happened to meet more women than I have met men. And the men that I have met, it's typically in, you know, situations of going on dates with them. JC actually met the guy that I was seeing earlier in the year when I went to that Super Bowl party. I don't know if y'all remember that. I invited him to that, and that's where they met. Cause I was like, okay, I'm seeing this guy. I like really like him. I feel like this is going somewhere, and I trusted JC to suss him out. And I was like, come with me to this party, see what the vibes are, meet this guy, see how we are together, see how I am around him, see how he is around me. So I trusted him there. They got along well. Like it was such a fun party. Granted, that relationship didn't work out, but I loved that party. That was like so much fun. I definitely got a little tipsy at that party, girl. The tequila, it was flowing. One thing about that tequila and Rihanna, that performance, yes, 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 yes. So anywho, I will also say too, the guys that I've seen recently, like guys that I've been dating here, they've also all had female friendships. So it's not like I'm all of a sudden this like really weird outlier to them. And they're like, why do you have a friend that's a guy? They have female friends. And going back to the example in the story that I shared earlier about how I had a partner who cheated on me with his close friend, his best female friend, I try not to allow that to like make me think anything of the men that I'm dating who have female friends, because the last thing that you want to do is use an example, an event that happened, an experience that you had, someone that did something, and make it feel like, or make yourself feel like every other person is going to do that to you. Now, this is not about being naive, because let me tell you something right now. I am, you know, I was a naive young buck at one point. Okay, definitely was. And I would say I can be a little naive sometimes now too. Okay, but it's not about being naive, but it's about allowing yourself not to be jaded by those past experiences. So now, you know, I've had dates with guys, or I've been seeing guys for multiple dates, whatever. Even my previous partner that I had this year, and the person that I just mentioned who met JC, they all had female friends as well. Like, it wasn't anything weird. I literally remember one of the guys, like, he was friends with his ex. And at first I was a little like, but then the more that I hung out with them, I realized like they definitely were a match, and they dated like in high school for like 2 seconds. So who was I to be like, oh my God, they're going to get back together and like behind my back? Or I just was like, nah, she cool. Like, she was really cool and really fun. So I think it is about trust. Like, the biggest thing is trust when it comes to your partnership. And if you can't trust your partner to be friends with people of the opposite sex, then maybe you don't trust them. I don't know. Maybe you don't trust them. But I also feel like, too, it depends on, you know, your relationship with your friends. So like, if you're in a partnership where you and your partner, like, we don't want to have, you know, each other be friends with people of the opposite sex, then that's a boundary y'all set within your relationship. If y'all are okay with it, then you have to trust them when it comes to those friendships. And if they break your trust, they break your trust. Like, you have to then decide, are you going to give them another chance to, you know, for you to trust them? Or are you like, this is it, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore? Like, these are the decisions that we're always having to make when in relationship with others, because we're all so complex and have different boundaries and different understandings of relationships and different pasts and things like that. But for me, the biggest thing is trust. And I feel like I typically allow that trust to build. But when it comes to friendships, if you're friends with female, like if I am dating someone who has female friends, as long as you're respectful around those friends, as long as you're not like sharing all of our business with those, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you just have to have certain boundaries, and like, please read the fucking room. Like, just have the boundaries, read the room, and we're gonna be good. And if I feel like something is off, I know now like to trust that intuition. Like, when I tell you, trust your intuition. If you feel like something's off, I mean, you can communicate that, but that's the biggest thing, is trust with yourself and trust with that person. So yeah, I hope that answered that question. It's doable. I think it's doable, but it does require respect and trust. So the next question says, how does someone know if they're meant to be in leadership in corporate America? What were some of the challenges you faced moving from an individual contributor to leadership, and what makes you stay in leadership? The biggest thing is like being able to handle the responsibility and pressure. I always feel like if my team fails, then it's on me. If I hire badly, or if I don't train someone correctly, or if someone doesn't understand the assignment, it's on me, because a lot of it is how I'm communicating with the team, how I am showing up for them, how much of a safe space I'm creating for them to feel like they can share their grievances or share suggestions of how we can change things. It's a lot of responsibility, and also that pressure, because when things aren't working or when something is going left, instead of, you know, my boss being like, oh, this particular person on your team did this, they don't know every single person on my team and exactly all of the day-to-day responsibilities like I do. So they're coming to me and they're like, why is this happening? What is this? Like, explain this to me. And so I am the, you know, the, what is the word I'm looking for? Oh my God, I'm struggling so bad, but I'm like the main person, right? I am the person that everyone is looking to when it comes to my particular team. And I'm the one responsible for like what is going on with our goals and with our day to day, et cetera. So if you know you can handle responsibility, if you know you can handle pressure, if you know that you're a good leader in general, then I feel like you could pursue the route of leadership in corporate America. It's also going to depend a lot too on the company, on the role, the position. What does your leadership look like? What does it look like for you to lead with that particular team that you're going to lead? If you're the type of person, whenever you were in group projects in school, you would kind of be like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Or you start kind of gathering all of the people and start kind of creating the plan and the path, then perhaps you're meant to be in leadership. Because I feel like I was always that person in group projects. I was always like, okay, here's a group of people. We're all talking over each other. Okay, guys, listen. Okay, let's figure out this first, this, and this. Let's go do this. And you're kind of like a big picture person. That could also be a really good sign. But I feel like it's going to depend, like I said, on the area, like the specific industry that you want to work in. It's going to depend on the company, because every single company is different. So corporate America is such a broad term. There are places that I've worked at that were technically corporate America, but they were so chill, so fun. I loved being in the office. I love the people that I work with. Everything was very much like, yeah, we were getting our work done, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I hate being here. It's so cold and so dry and so bland. And I've also worked at places that were very much like corporate America, where it was like a cubicle. Like, you're in your little cubicle. You're not seeing anyone else. We're working on really fun campaigns, but it was very much like by the book and strict and just cold. And I hated that. So you also have to discern, like, it's not just about, you know, leadership in corporate America. It's about where you work. And I feel like where you work and how much responsibility is given to you, how much leeway you're given, who you are reporting to your particular leader, even as a leader, a lot of that is going to really shape whether or not you want to lead. Because I found that when I was in the very corporate and cold settings, even though I was technically in a leadership position at those places as well, I found that I didn't want to step up to the plate. I actually felt really discouraged to do it because I hated the environment. And I really wasn't positioning myself as a leader there versus at the places that I really enjoyed. I found that I was more likely to step up to the plate. I also want to say that when it comes to leadership, there's also the challenge of imposter syndrome. This is definitely something that I face, because when you're going from just doing your day-to-day to now managing the day-to-day of a team, having people report to you, having to be responsible for that team, there's a lot of that imposter syndrome that can come up. I often felt like, damn, how did I even get into this position? Like, I felt like I wasn't meant to be there. I felt like it happened too quickly. Like, I needed more experience. I felt like I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't strategic enough. I didn't understand enough. And at the end of the day, imposter syndrome is always going to hit you at every single level. You could read every single book. You could listen to every single podcast. You could go through every single scenario in your head. But there's always going to be something that you face any single given day that you've never encountered before. But you have to trust that you are in the place that you're meant to be in. You have to trust that you got there for a reason, whether they hired you because they saw your potential or they hired you because they love your resume. It does not matter. You're there, and now it is up to you to prove that you're meant to be there. It's up to you to show up every single day and do the damn thing. And I definitely still struggle with that. Any given day, there are times where I'm leading a meeting and I'm kind of like, why? Like, am I even saying anything that's of value or of worth? And you just have to kind of just literally own it, right? It's not a fake it till you make it, but it's like you got to lean in and be like, I do know my shit, because no one is going to, I mean, some people do at my work validate me. I remember, like, I was leading a meeting the other day, and after we got off the call, someone messaged me and was like, oh my God, like, you killed it leading that. And the whole time I was in my head thinking, what the hell? I don't know what I'm talking about. But literally I knew what I was talking about. So you really do have to trust yourself and, like, be like, nah, that imposter syndrome, it's just like really not, it's not real. Like, it's a lot of just emotional lies that we're telling ourselves. And if you're really struggling with imposter syndrome, I have, I think, 2 or 3 episodes on imposter syndrome. They're called fraud. And then there's a fraud part 2. I want to say there's also a fraud part 3. Listen to those if you're really struggling with imposter syndrome. And I would say that's like the biggest challenge that I faced, was just the imposter syndrome and just my own self-sabotaging tendencies, because I felt like I didn't belong. And what makes me stay, I enjoy it. Like, I love leading a team. I love high level strategy. I love big ideas. I love advocating for people who may not be able to fully advocate for themselves. That's always been something that I've loved about being in a position of leadership, is being like, I am creating that safe space for my team. And my biggest thing ever is, like, when people come to me on my team and they share something they're struggling with, or they share something that they don't like about how we're doing things, to me, that makes me feel good, because I know I've created a safe space where they know they can share something with me and I'm not going to attack them for it. Instead, I'm going to be like, okay, how do we create a plan to advocate for change within this specific area? Or at the very least, I can have an honest and transparent conversation with them about why that thing is the way it is and how I am trying to fix it, but where I'm also facing roadblocks. So it's a very open, transparent team, obviously with boundaries as needed. But that's the reason I say it. I genuinely enjoy it. I personally like the freedom that I have. I like, again, advocating for people. I like having that high level thinking and oversight with whatever we're doing. I have also been recently wondering if I want to kind of keep climbing that corporate ladder and set my sights on C-suite. So like CMO at a specific company one day, or perhaps not. I definitely feel like I just really like doing a bunch of different things and dabbling in a bunch of different things. But my arsenal, my entire resume, my entire, you know, livelihood has been made when it comes to marketing, advertising, social media in that space. And I've kind of created a niche for myself within my career of being known for that. So I'm in a place where I'm, you know, thinking about, do I want to kind of continue down that trajectory or not? But yeah, so that is what I would say. It's definitely something where, you know, I would evaluate also why you want to be in a position of leadership. Like, what is it that you want to change? What is it that you want to do? And just go after it. If you have an opportunity, if you're given a chance to lead, like even if you're not in a position of leadership right now in your company, if you're on a team and, you know, people are like, we need someone to do X, Y, and Z, like raise your hand. Like, I know it sounds so cheesy, but like lead little projects. Like if you're in a group, like be the person that speaks up first, be the person that leads. I know it's hard sometimes. A lot of times I don't even be doing it. I won't lie to you, but like that's the way you start to kind of practice those skills, and you kind of start to see like, do I actually like this or not? Like, do I actually like, you know, speaking up and X, Y, and Z, or is this just like I want to chill a little bit more? Because when you're in the position of leadership, like you can do fun work, but there is a lot more responsibility and pressure on you. I have a secret. Well, I guess it's not a secret anymore because I'm literally talking about it at this moment, but the Manifest Daily membership version 2.0 is launching on August 2nd, 2024. An 11-2 day on my numerology calendar, might I add. If you are part of the 2020 membership experience, you will be blown away by what I have in store. The upgraded membership offers exclusive access to a treasure trove of lifestyle and spirituality resources designed to elevate every aspect of your life. From monthly wellness challenges and inspirational emails to guided meditations, live events with guest experts, and a comprehensive resource library, the Manifest Daily membership, reinvented and elevated, has everything you need to thrive on your journey to fostering holistic well-being and unlocking your fullest potential. Sign up for launch notifications via the link in my show notes or head to my website at themanifestdaily.com for more info. And don't forget to add August 2nd, 2024 to your calendar right now, my loves. See you there.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The next question says, I dreamt about my ex and his birthday is around the corner. What does that mean? We don't talk or have any communication, whatever. That means you're on his mind or he's on your mind or both. I genuinely feel like when I dream about someone, it's because I'm also on their mind. I know you can break down the psychology of dreaming and you can just be like, nope, it's because you're thinking about that person subconsciously, or perhaps it's because their birthday is coming up. So subconsciously you're, you know, remembering what it was like to be with that person around their birthday, perhaps, or because their birthday is coming up, that's why they're on your mind. But I also feel like I've had enough instances where my dreams have been like a premonition, or I feel like I get a lot of messages, a lot of intuitive messages, a lot of signs and signals and nudges through dreams or right after waking up from sleep, that I trust that whenever I have a dream about a specific person, I am also on their mind just as much as they are on mine. So perhaps that's what it is. And if that's the case, whether you really are on his mind or whether he's just on your mind, what do you want to do with that? Do you want to reach out? Do you want to not? Like, literally, whatever it means, it doesn't really matter as long as, or not as long as, but all that really matters is what you're willing to do with that information. If you truly knew that he was on your mind, would you feel inclined to reach out? Then maybe this is your sign to reach out. Maybe you want to rekindle things. I don't know. But maybe it's just cuffing season getting to you. Because girl, listen, I've been thinking about my exes too. But baby, listen, one thing about it, it get cold and you start thinking about him. Don't mean that you need to reach out. It does not mean that you need to rekindle anything. So do with that information what you will. Ask yourself, what do I want to do with this? What do I want to do? Do I want to reach out? Is this, do I want to just let a dream be a dream or try to put a little action behind it? It's totally up to you. But yeah, that's all I have to say about that. The next question is another career one. This person says, I'm waiting on a promotion at my job, but what if it's not right for me? I don't have much else going on for me and I'm a college dropout twice. So I think you gotta try it out and see if you like it. Like at the end of the day, I know when we hear promotion and we hear more money, it sounds really enticing, especially given this economy, girl. I know. But I know I answered a similar question in the last Q&A that was talking about money and like mental health and doing certain things where you're getting paid more, but maybe you don't have as much time or as much, you know, work-life balance, etc. I always advocate for the work-life balance. And I know sometimes you got to sacrifice the money you got to sacrifice the work-life balance for the money in certain seasons chapters of your life, and then be able to kind of grind, maybe save up, work your way up to something where you have more of that work-life balance and more time to actually enjoy the fruits of your labor. But when it comes to a promotion and when it comes to like whatever that new job is, whether it's more responsibility, a completely different job in general, you won't know if it's right for you or not right for you until you take that job. And sometimes it is right for you in whatever season of life you're in right now, but maybe in 2 years it won't be what's right for you. But you literally have to, but if you're feeling like you're unsure, maybe ask someone who's in that particular role, kind of like question people a little bit more, do a little bit more research around what it's like to have a day-to-day role like that. But if you're still on the fence, take the role and try it out. I feel like we're never stuck at a job. We're never married to a job. We're never married to any situation. I know, like I said, with life, depending on where you are, what your financial situation looks like, what your life situation looks like, sometimes it can feel like that. Trust me, I know. And it can feel like things will never get better. It can feel like you're just stuck. You have to be there, but you aren't. That is an illusion, right? You might have to be in that chapter for a little bit of time just to, you know, get your circumstances to change. But if it has to do with a promotion, try it out. And I know you mentioned that you're a college dropout twice. I don't want you to feel like because you've dropped out of college twice that you have to now go take a promotion or a job that you don't like just so that you can prove to people that you're not like not doing things or not taking action or not being successful or not whatever. Because there might be a little correlation there too. Like it might be something where you feel like you have to do it so you can prove something to other people. Listen, let me tell you something about this. College, I loved college. I love learning. I love school, but not everybody does. And not everybody that is successful in life by their own measure, whatever that means to you, went to college. Some people create amazing, successful, profitable, thriving businesses, and they have never stepped a day into college. Like they've never gone to college. They've never taken a class. Some people go to college, they do all the degrees, and they're just so confused about what they want to do. They're not doing anything. So college isn't like the necessary thing to be successful, but maybe this promotion is, maybe this job is, but you literally won't know unless you actually give it a shot and try it. And again, if it doesn't work out for you, do not be afraid to leave, okay? Don't be afraid of what other people say. I think it is so courageous to quit things that we don't like, because a lot of people stay in jobs, relationships, situations that they don't like because they're so afraid of quitting and they're so afraid of other people judging them. Fuck what other people think. Live your life for you. If you want to do the promotion, do the job, do it. If you do it, you hate it, leave. If you do it, you love it, great. Tiffany says, I've heard you mention you have ADHD, so do I, and I feel so stuck in the rut of being overwhelmed and then nothing gets done. What motivates you when you're feeling stuck? So I actually don't have ADHD. I remember at one point I was considering doing the test because I was having trouble concentrating. But I think at that point I was really just struggling with phone addiction. So there is that. But that being said, I do sometimes struggle to concentrate, and I think everyone does. When you have ADHD, I know it's very different. So I feel like some of the things I'm going to say might not resonate, because if you've been diagnosed with ADHD, you might need additional intervention. It's probably not as easy as me being like, I'm going to buckle down and do this thing. You might need perhaps medication, maybe therapy, additional interventions to help you. I know there was this one company, I forget the name of it. Oh, Thesis. They had a lot of nootropics that actually help with people who struggle with concentration or focus or even social anxiety. And they're all natural pills, natural interventions to help people who don't want prescribed big pharma medication, but do want to kind of work on whatever issues or struggles they're having with concentration and motivation, etc. So that could be something that you look into if you are completely opposed to seeking other interventions, or maybe you're just looking for different ways to really help with that focus. I will say, additionally, motivation is fleeting. I don't rely on motivation, because a lot of the times when you're just only relying on motivation, you are not going to get shit done. There are days where you're not motivated. There are days you wake up, you don't want to do the thing. You don't want to go to work. You don't. And listen, that's literally being human. That is having a human experience. But if you only rely on motivation, you're only going to get stuff done half the time. So the other piece of it is relying on commitment, relying on discipline, relying on your calendar, relying on your schedule. You have to, I know this going to sound crazy to some of y'all, but you really sometimes have to force yourself to do the thing. You have to force yourself to get up and go to the gym. You have to force yourself to be like, nope, I'm not having this meal, I'm gonna have this one because it's healthier for me, it's richer. This morning I came back and you know what, I want a Starbucks so bad. But one thing about me, I've been eating so much sugar lately. I was like, no, Deandra, we're not gonna do that. So I forced myself to boil some eggs. Does it look like I wanted to have eggs this morning? I definitely didn't. Does it look like I wanted to have that protein shake this morning? I did, but I had it because I was like, I need the protein. So that is one thing, is like really understanding the difference between discipline and commitment and motivation, and understanding that motivation is temporary. It's not going to be the end all be all when it comes to getting you to do certain things. The other piece of it is planning. I find that for me, organizing and planning helps me a ton. Having structure is what helps me. When I have a very unstructured, willy-nilly day, I find that I don't really get anything done. I'm very much liable to rot in bed and just sit and watch TV because I don't know what to do with myself, versus when I have some type of structure and organization, that really helps me. Again, that is not everybody. Some people are very much, they go with the flow and the flow flows for them. For me, I go with the flow of my calendar and it works for me, and I allow myself flexibility within the planning. If I say, okay, between this and this time is when I'm working on, I don't know, emails or something like that, but when I wake up, I'm feeling so, you know, excited with ideas about Instagram, I might switch over my calendar, move things around in order to work on the thing that I'm so fired up about in that moment, and do the other thing that I plan to do later. So I use my planner. If you guys don't know, I created a daily planner. It's called the Manifesting Gold Digger Planner. It'll be linked in the show notes, or you can find it on shopmanifestdaily.com. I use that planner to plan out, time block my day, to plan out my priorities. So even if I have a day where everything goes to shit, I know that I have my top three priorities that I'm going to get done no matter what. And that is what signals that I've had a successful and rewarding and fulfilling day when it comes to my priorities. I time block, I set goals, I set monthly goals, I set weekly goals, I set daily goals. Just all of this stuff comes down to organization. And of course, I'm human, so I fall off the wagon. Of course, I need time to rest. I need time to pivot, to recalibrate. So really allow yourself the grace of knowing that you're not always going to be motivated. That's just simply not possible. But what happens when you're not motivated? What happens when you have a bunch of things in front of you that need to get done? You can't just rely on motivation. So you are going to have to create ways to discipline yourself. And it is a muscle like every other. It will take work. It will take time. But eventually, the more that you start to practice discipline, the easier that it will get. So this last one isn't a question, but more so a comment. Someone says they want more Get Ready With Me content, especially skincare and makeup. I miss this so much. When I was in college, I had a different YouTube channel and I used to do Get Ready With Me's a lot. I remember the first palette that I bought at Sephora. I remember the first lipstick I bought at Sephora. I was just so into the YouTube, you know, the beauty brand content, the Get Ready With Me, the makeup tutorials. Like, I was so into it. And still years later, it is something I'm so passionate about. There are times where I just like grab my makeup and I play around and I come up with different looks, or I love experimenting with different skincare and things like that. So I definitely have thought about ways to incorporate that more. I've even had ideas of like, should I just like start a whole new beauty channel again and just do like makeup, you know, of the day looks and things like that. I think the reason I haven't done it is because I am doing a lot. I feel like for me, at least, I know there are people that do way more than me and have energy still. It can't be me. Okay. I'd be tired. I'm a tired girly. Okay. But I feel like I don't want to start something that I can't commit to. That is my struggle. Cause I feel like whenever I start something and I don't commit and I'm not consistent, I feel so disappointed in myself. And I feel like I'm letting people down. I'm letting myself down. So that is something that I really want to work on, because there's so many things that I would love to dabble in again, just for fun. Like, I would love to just like upload a video or upload a picture of my makeup or something, and like not be that deep. Like, this isn't about me becoming like the next Jackie Aina. This isn't about me becoming the next makeup Shayla. This is just about vibes. Okay. This is about vibes. So that being said, I will definitely do more of that. It's so funny. Last night when I was getting ready for this date, I wanted to film me getting ready just to create a quick reel on it. And then I didn't. I like talked myself out of it. I don't know why. But anyways, I hear the feedback, I hear the request, and I feel aligned with it, because it's something that I also want to do myself. So look out for that. I don't know if it's going to be on like Manifest Daily. I don't know if it should be on DeAndre Nicolette. I really don't know. Now that I have two Instagrams again, it's just weird. I feel like I never post on Manifest Daily anymore, because I don't know. I'm going through an existential crisis, guys, as you know. So bear with me as I navigate this current existential crisis, the Saturn return that I'm in for like the next 3 years. You know, it's going to be a little rocky, but we're going to get through it together. But thank you so much, my loves, for tuning into this particular episode. I am about to go get ready. I cannot believe it's already 2 o'clock. Okay. I have more 9 to 5 work to finish, and I'm going to go get ready. And then I think I'm going to go and maybe work at a coffee shop for a little bit before I meet my mom at the airport, just because I'm kind of hungry, but I don't want to have like a full on meal. And I also cleaned up everything, did the dishes, mopped the kitchen floor. So I'm like, the last thing I want to go do right now is cook in the kitchen that I just cleaned. So I think I might go to a coffee shop and grab like a little breakfast bagel or breakfast burrito and a decaf coffee, sit, get some work done, and then head to the airport. So thank you so much, my loves, like I said, for tuning into this episode. I hope you really enjoyed it. I will chat with you in the very next one. Next week might be a little bit late, depending on my day and my setup, because again, I probably won't be able to record until Monday night, but it will be up. So have a beautiful Thanksgiving weekend if you do celebrate in terms of gratitude and yummy food and being around your family. If you're not around your family this time and it feels like a really tough time for you, I see you, because the holidays in the past have been very triggering for me. So I want you to know that you are definitely loved. I want you to just, you know, really embrace the time of solitude if that's how you're spending it, and still cook yourself some yummy food. Okay. Still have yourself that mac and cheese. Okay. There's always a reason for mac and cheese. And if you're lactose intolerant, they have vegan cheese. But I'll chat with you guys in the next episode. Bye, my loves. Hi, my love. I hope you're enjoying Manifest Daily, whether this is your second or your 22nd episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with our latest episodes. And if you really love the show, I would appreciate it if you could do me a huge favor by leaving a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on. It really helps the show grow and reach more listeners like yourself. And like I said, I would be super grateful for you to leave that 5-star review. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this amazing and growing podcast community. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode.